Well, as we get close to the end of the year, there's a lot of talk about investments over the past year. Kind of a report card. And for the future, 2026, no one better, in my opinion, to talk to about these sorts of things than our next guest, the Managing Director, Portfolio Manager at Ancora in Bloomfield Hills. That is my friend, David Sowerby. David, always a pleasure. Happy holiday to you.
Paul, happy holiday. Merry Christmas. Just to start off, you said, let's give a grade to 2025 to the markets. It's a solid B, maybe even a B+. Think about the major events this year. Tariffs, of course, artificial intelligence, big, beautiful bill, questions on U.S. exceptionalism. Nevertheless, we finish quite positive. Stock market, not to be forgotten, the bond market, too, had a pretty solid year. And here's one quickie. Think about it. If you and I were having the conversation in early April when tariff uncertainty was at its worst, the S&P 500 was down 15% for the year. Those magnificent seven tech stocks, they were down nearly 25% for the year. If you had not stayed disciplined, but rather panicked and sold, you would have missed the ensuing recovery. And that's just a lesson for any single calendar year. Stay disciplined.
Well, stay disciplined and also stay the course, because there's been plenty out there that has shown that, you know, people are walking around going, oh, my gosh, in the end, the stock market broke records and I missed it. You didn't miss it. And anybody who steps back and says, well, it's already at its highest point, I'm not going to invest. If you historically look at the stock market, you do better if you invest, period. Whether it's at its high or its low, you still do better if you get on board. Is that still true?
Absolutely. It speaks to there still is U.S. exceptionalism for our company's ability to be profitable, generate shareholder value. That's the case. And here's one good thing, I think, as we look out to next year and beyond. This has been a good year for the S&P 500. It's up nearly 16% for the year. But it's been more limited in the number of participants, or what we call breadth. The average stock in the S&P 500 is up 10%. So if you get more breadth or more participation next year, that bodes well for most people's portfolios. I'm looking for that to be more the story in 2026. So, yes, you should still be investing, and when you can, committing capital appropriately to where you're going to get your best bang for the buck, and that's stocks net of inflation and taxes.
Well, what do we do about, you know, there's no shortage of advice, I'll call it, and information on social media. Instagram is what I see the most. But it really is what Warren Buffett said a long time ago. He said, park your money in a cheap S&P 500 index fund and leave it. And what you just said, 16%, sounds like it would have been the right thing to do.
It certainly would have. Even better if you had some international, but that the 30-year story is still decidedly to U.S. over non-U.S. stocks. Buffett's right. I will say with some, you know, some respect to the Oracle of Omaha, Buffett, that next year I think the S&P index can go higher, but it's really going to be watching the average stock potentially outperforming the index itself because it's so top heavy in 7 or 10 names that we all know very well. So I like the opportunity for stocks. We always have to expect that anytime intra-year, within the year, we're going to get a 10 to 12 to 13% intra-year sell-off. It happens on average once a year for the last 70 years. Always be ready for it. And as you said, stay disciplined.
Hey, look, as one of your happy clients, David Sowerby, handling my investments, my retirement plans and all of that, how do I get this assessing 2025 and perspectives on 2026, which is why I wanted to have you on to get what you just talked about. Can the average listener get a hold of this information as well?
Always. They can go to the Ancora website, which is pretty well constructed, and get that advice. And And just as important is everybody wants to ask about what about next year? What do we think about next year? You know, it bodes well, but the real view is take at least a 2 to 3 year lens. That decisions you make today, you really want to see them bear fruition in a 2 to 3 year window. Sometimes you can be early and wrong. Single calendar year, every Wall Street firm is trotting out its 2026 forecast. Sometimes it's just flip the coin what a single year will be. But if you think about the more intermediate time period, it still bodes well for stocks to grow your assets and your investments net of inflation and taxes. And encouragingly, there's more opportunities in the bond market, too, where you can get yields 5 to 6%. And that starts to compare favorably to the low yields that existed in the absence of returns in the bond market. Bond market returns this year are going to be up better than 6%. I haven't seen that in several years. So don't forget about those bonds, which can be a nice income generation and shock absorber when stocks do challenge us.
Is that Ancora, ANCORA.com?
That's it. And well, happy with what we do. I've been doing this over 30 years. Always in Detroit and Michigan. Love it. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, we wouldn't either. And it's why you are the go-to guy for the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Detroit newspapers, and for us. We go to you because you are so highly regarded and so respected. Ancora.com, the one and only Managing Director, Portfolio Manager at Ancora in Bloomfield, David Sowerby. Thank you, David. Happy holidays, thanks. All of them to
happy
you.
Happy holidays. Likewise, Paul. Thank you to you and your listeners.
Thank you as we continue In Focus at 1:44 on WJR. You know, when it comes to healthcare costs, we often focus on one thing, our insurance premiums. But what if we're only seeing part of the picture? The truth is, our health insurance costs reside downstream. That's at the end of the cost equation. But to really understand what's driving up costs, we need to look upstream to the healthcare system itself. Upstream, there are costs like the prices charged by hospitals and doctors and the cost of prescription drugs, healthcare administration, technology. These costs flow downstream, directly into our health insurance premiums. That's why Tricia Keith, the president and CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and the entire Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan family, is advocating for system-wide solutions to address the rising cost of health care. Believe me, they are very aware. Blue Cross knows that health care is personal, that health care needs to work for everyone, and in health care especially. Affordability matters. And that starts with shedding light on the entire cost equation, from upstream costs to downstream premiums. I hope you want to learn more. And you can do that easily by visiting miBlueDaily.com/affordability. That's MI, like in Michigan, miBlueDaily.com/affordability. You will be glad you did. We continue. Paul W. Smith, In Focus, WJR 146.